You guys know what today is, right? What special Sunday? I mean, yeah, it's Sunday. Thank you. Obvious ones. Yes, but what? Palm Sunday, that's right. And this day, I got a confession to make. I grew up in church. Anytime the doors were open, my family dragged me into the church, whether I wanted to or not. And this was always one of those days, like, even though I knew what the day was about, I didn't understand what the day was about. I didn't understand, what's the big hoopla? This is just some dude on a donkey riding into town. Nobody comes into Tyrone and barges in these doors going, "You're never going to believe it. There's a guy in a Ford Ranger driving in on 99. Nobody does that, right? Because it's a normal thing. And I didn't understand this. This is just some guy coming in on a donkey into Jerusalem. What in the world is everybody so excited about? Like, why are we having this? And why 2,000 years later is this such a significant thing? And it took me years and years to realize something. That it is so much more than a dude on a donkey. It's a king on a colt that we're celebrating. That's what this day is about. And this is part of a prophecy. Zechariah 9:9 says this, and I'm not going to unpack all of what's in here. We're going to be doing that later through what the choir does. But Zechariah 9:9 says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." That's the mountain that Jerusalem was built on. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, this is a prophecy. This is a prediction. It's saying to Israel, to the people of God, the one who's going to deliver you, this is going to be one of the signs, one of the many signs. But it's not just a dude on a donkey. It's not just because Jesus was coming to town on a donkey. There was so much more packed into this day. This was an explosion of rejoicing because of so many other prophecies. By some counts, Jesus fulfilled 350 prophecies of Scripture. 350. Okay, the likelihood of one person fulfilling 10 of those prophecies, you are more likely to cover the state of Texas 3 feet deep in silver dollars, mark the back of one silver dollar with an X with a Sharpie, throw it in the middle of Texas somewhere, blindfold someone, and say, okay, go pick one, them picking one and it being that exact one. It is that likely to fulfill 10. And he fulfilled 350 of them. I want to look at a few of them today because these were the ones that the people on the roads that are waving the palm branches and shouting Hosanna, these are the ones that they probably had in mind. Because this was packed with so much more than a dude on a donkey. This was truly a king on a colt. There were prophecies about this Messiah. And the first one was that he would be the son of King David, a descendant from David. God made this promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He says, "From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declared to you that the Lord will make you a house," in other words, a family. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will rise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Now, so far, he's talking about his son, Solomon. "He shall build a house for my name." That's Solomon's temple. "And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now it has to go beyond Solomon because Solomon died. "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, which I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is where we see Jesus. Solomon died. Solomon committed sin. God had to discipline him. Jesus never sinned. But to the Jewish mind of the day, there was a coming king from the line of David. There was a coming king who is going to reign forever, whose kingdom would know no end. And they see him riding into town on a colt, a king on a colt. This promise made by God was fulfilled in Jesus. We see this in Matthew chapter 1, the very first verse, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He was the descendant, the one the people knew was coming to take the throne of David. But not only was he going to be the son of David, a descendant of David, he was going to be born in the city of David. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah says this, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, a king, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days." Well, we see this fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" Remember that verse. We're going to be reading that again in just a second. "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, and from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Here they see it, these foreign wise men, the Magi, and they recognize, if you're familiar with the Christmas story, they know the king is going to come from Bethlehem. The king is going to be born in Bethlehem. And we see that fulfilled, that promise. But let's go back to what they say. It also says that he's going to be heralded by a star. It's going to be a star. No king ever had his birth proclaimed in the stars except for one. And that's the man they see coming into town on a colt, a king. See, he was proclaimed by a star. In Numbers 24:17, it says this, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the foreheads of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." This is saying the king that's coming, the Messiah, the one who's going to deliver, the one who's going to make all things right, his birth is going to be heralded in the stars. Again, if you're familiar with the Christmas story and what these wise men say, Matthew chapter 2, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's the star of Bethlehem that proclaims him. More than that, not only is he going to be the son of a king, born in the city of the king, heralded by a star, he was also going to be born of a virgin. Not only has no king ever been born of a virgin, I haven't heard of any human beings born of a verified virgin. Have you? But that's what is said of Jesus. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." We see this fulfilled in Luke chapter 1. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called a son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Wait a second. That's going back to the promise of David. "And of his kingdom, there will be no end." That's God's promise. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin? I haven't done what it takes to have a baby. How am I going to have a baby?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." He was the son of a king, born in the city of the king, heralded by a star and born through supernatural means. And not only that, his origin was also the answer to a great mystery. Because not only did the prophets say that he would come from Bethlehem, it also said he would come from Egypt. How is that possible? Bethlehem is not in Egypt. Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son." And this was taken eventually to be a prophecy about the Messiah. Not just about calling Israel out of Egypt. Where in the world could this be in agreement? Well, Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child, his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him. Remember when the wise men show up to Herod, and he is disturbed? Well, he is so disturbed, he is about to kill the child under 2 years old in the city of Bethlehem, and in the region. And the angel comes to him and says, go to Egypt, get out of the country. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. That is how he was the fulfillment. And the people that knew Jesus, the people who had heard his story, the people who had watched him, they knew these things about him. And they realized that he is more than a dude on a donkey. He is a king on a colt. But even beyond this, the one who is coming, the king who is coming, would have special empowerment by the Holy Spirit resting on him. Isaiah 11, 1 through 2 says this, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counseling and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This one who is coming to rule, the one who is descendant from David. By the way, Jesse was David's father. So when it talks about the shoot from the stump of Jesse, it is going back to the promise God made to David. And he's saying he is going to have power from the Spirit on him. He's going to have the Spirit resting on him. We see this fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So everybody that was waving palm branches and everybody who was rejoicing that Jesus was coming into town on a donkey, they were celebrating this one who had been born in the line of David, in the city of David, of a virgin, heralded by a star and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do significant things. Because the final thing I want to talk about that was in their mind and churning in them as they'd exploded in rejoicing was Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not, behold your God. He will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. He's saying that he is going to do great healings. Well, for 3 years, Jesus had done this. For 3 years, he had made the lame not only walk, but leap for joy. He had opened blind eyes, he had unstopped deaf ears. And in fact, towards the end, just before Jesus comes on a donkey, John, his cousin, is in prison. And he says, we thought you were the king. Are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else? Should we be looking for another dude on a donkey? This is what Jesus says. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. And look very carefully how Jesus words this. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And above that, the dead are raised. And the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. Look, all of this is what's packed into their celebration. The Son of David, born in the city of David, heralded by a star, born to a virgin, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do profound miracles. He was the one that was coming on the donkey. He wasn't just some dude. He was the coming king on the colt. That is what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. That's what all the hoopla was about. But why palm branches? Okay, we get the guy on the donkey. Why the palm branches? Well, the Messiah, the one who is going to deliver, was predicted to overthrow an oppressive regime and restore Israel to her former glory. And palm branches had with them not just this rejoicing element to them, they were highly patriotic. Imagine with me, if you will, it's several decades in the future, perhaps even a century or so, our country has been overthrown by an oppressive regime. and you and I walk in the streets waving red, white, and blue stars. That is essentially the same patriotic fervor that was behind this. Because 167 years before Jesus walked this earth, there was a man named Mattathias. And Mattathias led a successful, relatively successful rebellion against pagan Greek oppressors. They were trying to sacrifice pigs, unclean animals in the Jewish mind, on the altar in the temple. Mattathias led a revolt against this. His family later came to be known as the Maccabees. There's an apocryphal book, a deuterocanonical book called the Book of Maccabees, and it tells their story. That's why they celebrate Hanukkah. And the Maccabee, actually, no, they're not a Scottish clan. I had to do my research. It's not McAbbey, it's Maccabee. And it comes from the Hebrew word for hammer, because it was said that they were striking against their oppressors. How would you like that nickname, the Hebrew hammer? Oh yeah, that was the Maccabees. And one of their symbols was a palm branch, which harkened back to when God delivered Israel out of Egypt and slavery. And in the Feast of Booths, where they celebrated this, where God delivered them from their oppressor, they would live in booths made from thatched together palm branches. So they're waving these palm branches saying, our deliverer is coming, our deliverer is here, the king on a colt is coming to town. You can't tell me that's not worth some fanfare. Folks, the king is still coming. The king is still coming to deliver. He is still going to deliver us. Maybe not the way you think. Maybe not the way you're expecting. Next week, we're going to find out the king that he really is. Because it turns out, the king that these people expected wasn't the king that they got. Jesus is the king that we need. He's not just the king that we want. He's the king that we truly, in our hearts, desire and crave. Because these people were thinking, it's political. May I tell you something that you're not going to hear on news? The biggest problems in the world today are not political, but spiritual. The biggest deliverance we need in this world today is not political, spiritual. If you took care of all the spiritual problems, the political problems would disappear on their own. And that, my friends, that is what the king on the colt is coming to deliver his people from. Spiritual issues, not political resolve. So as they're waving these palm branches, what's going through their mind is rebellion, insurrection. We will be independent. Political reform. He's going to undo all our political woes. And Jesus is saying, no, I have come for something far greater than political deliverance, but spiritual freedom. Freedom unlike the world had ever known since the days of Adam. See, the most important issues of today and the world as it is are not political, but spiritual. So let me ask you something and consider this as we hear this story, as we see he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to accept Jesus? Are you willing to welcome him and celebrate him for the king that he is? Or only as the king as you wish him to be? Are you willing to celebrate the king who truly came to deliver? Or are you only going to accept him if he is the king who delivers from what you think he should? In that case, let me tell you something. You're not worshiping God, you're worshiping you. You're celebrating yourself. And if you are, if you say, yeah, I want Jesus as he is, let me ask you something. When was the last time you celebrated Jesus like this? When we see it, when we see the celebration, when was the last time we Christians actually, dare I say it, in a Baptist church, we danced during worship? Like you couldn't hold yourself back? I love it when I see our kids dancing to the music out of joy and celebration of our God. We as Christians should be the most joyous. Because every problem that we see in this world, we know the truth. It's got an expiration date. It's going to be done one day. We king returns. That king on the colt is eventually going to come back on a white stallion. And we are going to see the king he is on Easter Sunday. I don't want to steal from that. But today is a day of celebration of the king on a colt. So let me, are you willing to accept Jesus for the king that he is? And if you are, let's rejoice. Let's celebrate Jesus like this. Sometimes we go to church, and honestly, it's kind of depressing. It's really good to see all of you, and I'm seeing a lot of celebrating and smiling faces. But sometimes it's kind of depressing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You don't understand something. We've got a king unlike any other king in history. He's a perfect king, not just a good king. Like, I'm a nerd, so at the end of Lord of the Rings, when Aragorn takes the crown, yes, I cry a little bit, and yes, I'm rejoicing. Finally, Middle-earth will know peace. The king is in his place. And imagine this. We have the true king of the universe on the throne. Christian, we should be shouting amen, hallelujah, hosanna. Yes, you can applaud to that. You can praise God to that, all right? That's not applauding me, that's applauding him. He is the true king. So today, let it be a day of celebration. As we're rejoicing, as we're shouting hosanna, which just means Lord save, Lord save, Lord deliver. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is the king who came in on a colt. Would you pray with me before this all happens? Lord, we are grateful for what this day is. We are grateful for the king on a colt. We are grateful for Jesus coming into our world to set things right, to deliver us, to bring true freedom, not political reform, but spiritual deliverance. Lord, I pray that today you would deliver. That whether there are some of us here that we have never known this king, or some of us here that know the king but have never recognized him as our true king, Lord, would you break down the barriers of pride and our own expectations? Lord, would you cast our eyes beyond just what is passing in this world, what is here for a moment and then gone? Would you open our eyes to eternity? Would we rejoice and celebrate the King? Lord, would you put that joy in our hearts? Lord, we can't drum it up. It doesn't come from our own natural resources. It comes through faith, and faith only comes through you. Lord, would you deliver? Would you deliver us from settling for the mundane? Would you deliver us from settling for anything less than complete spiritual renewal of our hearts and minds? We ask this in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.